Welcome to In Season, where we explore connections between people, land, plants, and wildlife here in the Lower Columbia Pacific region. I'm Teresa Retzloff, and today's show might be a little unusual. It might seem a little weird because my guest is a little unusual in terms of like gardening, farming, nature. How does that connect to Bill Greiser, who is an assistant professor of neuroscience at Portland State University? Hey, Bill.
Hello, how are you?
But there's a connection. Bear with me. Hang in there because we're going to dive deep into nature right away, because what we're going to talk about today is the effects that nature has on our brains, on our nervous system, and on our physiology. And I just think this is so cool. I've known Bill for a while now. We're good friends. Tell us about yourself and tell us about nature on the brain.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me here today, Teresa. So my name is Bill and I teach neuroscience, but also we like to call it interdisciplinary neuroscience. I actually work with artists and writers and poets and painters because we like to think about how the way we think about the world, the way we perceive things, the way we kind of conceive of ourselves and develop a sense of ourselves, is something that lots of different disciplines are fascinated by and have, investigated. And we're really curious about those kinds of connections. So gardening and the brain is a natural sort of interdisciplinary neuroscience, and also just being out in nature itself too. So nature, we are nature.
We are nature.
So, and what's kind of interesting is we've evolved right in nature. And over the last, several hundred years, we've been developing ways to sort of separate ourselves to a large extent from what we often think of as nature, the trees that we're surrounded by right mm-hmm. now too, which are just extraordinary, by the way.
I should say, I'll paint a picture of our setting. We are sitting under this enormous old spruce tree on my farm out here in Olney, Oregon. And hopefully our chairs won't sink into the duff too much. We both
anymore.
Had a couple of exciting moments. But I really wanted to be sitting under a tree while we had this conversation because I will tell you, when we walked under the branches, I already felt kind of like, ooh, I feel kind of calm.
Yeah, it's really, we'll talk a little bit about some of the research. I mean, it's remarkable how the kinds of landscapes in which we evolve likely are actually in many ways capable of promoting better physiological health, better mental health. And there are many cultures around the world, actually, particularly in China and Japan, where they have known about this sort of explicitly for a long time. And they have, what they call Shinrin Yoku in Japan, which is forest bathing.
I love this. Not putting on your swimsuit to go out in the forest, but it is like being out in the forest.
Absolutely. And I think of that actually with our kids, because we used to take my colleague, who's an artist, Jeff Leek, who is part of the organization that we both co-founded called Northwest Noggin. When our kids were younger, we would just take them out into the forest like all the time on these hikes. And it was remarkable to see their mood just elevate. They were just so excited. They wanted to go back. It was good in terms of the physical activity, mm-hmm. but we're learning more. There's just actually the being in nature is also very beneficial.
Is having actual effects on your brain. I mean, this is what's so wild to me because it sounds beautiful and it sounds kind of groovy and in some ways like a no-brainer.
Absolutely.
But of course being outside is going to be good for you. But there is something specific about if you went for a walk in a forest as opposed to a walk down a busy city street, the effects of you being in the forest are different on your body physiologically, different on your brain. It can affect, anxiety, depression, mood, your blood pressure.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not just the exercise that's important. So this is a quote from a recent kind of review paper. And all of these, by the way, are available on our website at nwnoggin.org if you're interested. But we found evidence for associations between nature exposure and improved cognitive function, brain activity, blood pressure, mental health, physical activity, and sleep, which is really important. Results from experimental studies provide evidence of protective effects of exposure to natural environments on mental health outcomes and cognitive function. Now, cross-sectional observational studies. So these are when you look at people and see what their circumstances are, like who, you know, walks more in the forest versus somebody who walks more in, you know, an urban area, for example, provide evidence of positive associations. These are correlations, right, between nature exposure and increased levels of physical activity and decreased risk of cardiovascular disease. So it's good for your heart, you know, and these are, you know, correlations, not causation. But then there are also longitudinal observational studies are beginning to assess long-term effects of nature exposure on depression, anxiety, cognitive function, and chronic disease. So there's pretty, we can go into more into the research.
Okay,
but
you dropped some
remarkable
science terms in
yes,
there.
Yes, I did.
So I'm just
yes,
like, okay, so causal, correlation, causation. And then longitudinal studies. I'm not quite sure what all of those mean.
So let me tell you, so a correlational study, again, is you're just taking a single time point and you're, you know, asking people about like what they do and where they are and, you know, and you're maybe taking some physiological measures of, you know, how much stress hormone is circulating, for example, or, you know, how stressed or anxious they feel and things like that. And then you're seeing that there are correlations, you know, in that data. Like there's,
they
you know,
go for a
who,
walk yeah, in the woods and then it changes.
And they have like lower stress levels and things like that. But longitudinal, you're actually looking out over time. You're sort of taking two groups and one of them, they go off and they walk and the other group doesn't walk uh-huh, in the forest, for example. And you see, you know, significant improvement
over time.
So you can make a more of a causal kind of association there. You can say that, you know, that walk in the woods was actually quite beneficial.
I mean, I love this. I love this on so many levels because I do love being outside. I mean, I'm a farmer, and so I spend a lot of time outside, although not always doing relaxing things.
Nope.
I mean, sometimes I realize that my interactions with nature are like, oh my God, I've got to get this crop harvested and go.
Stress.
So, and it's funny because you would think like my interactions with nature are so much better. And then my husband, Packy, will sometimes come home and I'm thinking like, oh, these things get mowed. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. And he'll, you know, disappear. And I like, you know, 2 hours later, and where were you? He's like, oh, well, I went to the back to check on that thing. But then I went to check on our pollinator habitat. And then I saw a bird. And then this other thing happened. And he's just been wandering around in nature. And he's doing better than I am, isn't he? And I'm out here all the time. I have to learn.
The most, like, extraordinary, like, location here at 46 North Park is like incredible. I mean, there, I just remember being out here and there were like suddenly there was this huge herd of elk that were just kind of surrounding us.
We are very fortunate, and I absolutely see that every day. And I feel like in a lot of ways, for so much of us who live here in the Northwest, we are so fortunate because we are so close to nature. You know, even if you live in Portland, but out here along the coast, you know, none of our communities are very far away from a forest or the beach. And this was a question I had for you too, because I love the forest. I love walking in the forest here, but I grew up more as a beach person, not like big crowded sunbathing beaches, but just like walking on the beach. And for me, like going to the ocean, taking my shoes off, having the water wash over my feet, very cold, you know, picking up a few rocks, things like that, that is very relaxing to me. So is that like, even though it's not a forest, do you think
it's a
similar?
A lot of the research has looked at forest bathing specifically. But, you know, so one of the reasons, you know, I have some of this research available on our website is because we like to get, like, a neuroscientist, a graduate student in neuroscience, together with, like, an artist. And then they kind of talk about what they want to kind of collaboratively sort of consider and present on. And this was Brittany Alperin, who is a graduate student in behavioral neuroscience at OHSU in Portland, and Sienna Morris, who's an extraordinary artist who does like this incredible technique. It's called numberism, where she does her work with like literally writing out the, you know, the equations, for example, for the different chemicals that you're exposed to when you're walking through the woods, and creates these beautiful kind of images. And they actually did a little sort of experiment where they took some folks who were not actually depressed or anxious. It's interesting. They were fine, but they wanted to see if there would be some kind of an improvement if they would spend, you know, so many hours a day, or I think it was like only 20 minutes a day, like in forested areas. So they were looking specifically again at forests, not at deserts and things like this. But they found that, you know, they wanted a physiological measure of improvement in terms of mental health. And Brittany was studying what's called left alpha asymmetry. That's another big science
term.
It's
totally okay. science talk, yeah, and it's part of it.
What I always love about this is that, you know, the terminology, like, whoa, people go, what is that? But it's actually totally, you could totally understand it. It's like, so your brain is made of cells. They're mm-hmm. called neurons. And they fire electric current.
Yeah.
And they fire it at different rates, right? And so we can, you know, bend the different, you know, like speeds, like how the rates of, you know, firing in the brain. So we have, like, you know, delta and theta and, you know,
those
alpha.
Are the brain waves.
These are the brain waves. Okay. And you can record the aggregates, sort of like group activity of lots of different cells. And it turns out that in your frontal lobes, which are, you know, the front part of your brain right behind your forehead, if you have more alpha in the left frontal lobe versus the right, that's typically associated with, you know, a greater, you know, risk of anxiety or depression and things like that. And if you have more alpha in the right hemisphere in the frontal lobe versus the left, you tend to have less of that kind of a concern. They both started out with more right mm-hmm. frontal alpha, so they were fine. But then after they did this experiment that they reported on,
so they were spending 20 minutes
a day basically
out in,
a forest actually, and they were folks that were at OHSU, they were the forest all over that hill, mm-hmm. so they would be out there. And then they found that there was, you know, more right frontal alpha. They had even more asymmetrical, but in the good way, towards
good.
More positive
so
sorts of,
like,
feelings and emotions.
So just 20 minutes a day in a forest.
It was incredible. Yeah.
And, in a forest near downtown Portland.
Right. And so I should say, by the way, this is not a peer-reviewed study.
Yeah.
This was just, so what we love is that you can do a lot in a public presentation where you're not, you know, sort of reporting. You don't need, you know, consent forms or IRB, you know, institutional mm-hmm. review board approval, if you're doing what they call sort of an art event or something
okay.
like that. And that's what we like to
so
do.
This so
this
art.
Is a performance art. But it was intriguing and interesting.
But yeah. you were able to show a result.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
More so. I mean, a result. I mean, yeah, and I get yeah. it, but it does also look like, from the reading that I've done,
yeah,
both
yeah.
through mm-hmm. your Northwest Noggin website and on other sites, that there's a lot of scientific research being done on nature. And, you know, I know in the medical world they're looking at exposure to nature in healing, like
yes.
post-surgery, just
yeah.
like mm-hmm. being able to look out a window at a forest or having a picture of nature. This was fascinating to me, that looking at
yeah.
art, looking yep. at a picture of nature can also have positive effects on you.
Absolutely. You go to a gallery, you go to Imogen, you look at some of those landscape paintings.
So that's having a positive effect on you.
That has a positive effect. Yeah.
I mean, I also loved that there houseplants.
Houseplants do.
Having a house with houseplants.
Yes.
Can also be beneficial. There's just something about plants.
Yeah, there is something.
And being around plants
yeah. mm-hmm.
that is good for us as human beings.
You know, I know that in a lot of, like, hospital design, for example, now they know this and they actually try to design for more kind of natural spaces with lots of plants in, you know, hospital settings, or views of gardens and things like that, or
and that this
taking people out. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I have read that they've showed that it helps with, like, faster recovery,
yeah. mm-hmm.
you know, less complications,
improved
all of these things.
Improved immune function, even, you know, there are some papers, and again, on our website at nwnoggin.org, we've actually, you know, tried to organize some of those, but anti-cancer, you know, potential impacts, like, you know, so, like, better, you know, sort of physiological
it's helping
immune
your
responses.
Immune
exactly,
if
yeah.
it's helping your immune system,
yeah.
that's
mm-hmm.
good,
yeah,
right?
No, very
I mean,
good,
on so
actually.
Many levels, we've all learned about our immune systems in the last few years.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is just something that is so, so fascinating to me. Because I think a lot of times, you know, people, you know intuitively, like, I love to go out to my garden and water and look at the plants
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
spend a little time, maybe I'll pull a few weeds, eat a few blueberries, whatever I've got, you know, going on in my garden, and I feel better afterwards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people intuitively know that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it is fascinating to me, like, and sometimes in defense for gardeners, you're not just lollygagging out there.
No.
You're not wasting your time.
Oh, God,
you're
no.
actually doing something that's good for your health. Now, it might not be good for your knees or your back,
no,
you know,
exactly,
and that's
yes.
a whole different animal. But in terms of anxiety, stress,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. blood pressure, heart health,
yes.
all of those things.
Cardiovascular function, definitely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's more than just the
exercise. The,
yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing that's fascinating too, because you could think that, like, well, you go for a walk in the woods, and of course, well, you're moving and you're mm-hmm. out and being active, and so of course it's going to be better for you. But it seems like what studies are showing is that, like, above and beyond just being more physically active, it's like walking on a forest trail is going to be better for other aspects of you than walking on a treadmill in a gym.
Yes. So that made me think, so when our kids were little, we used to like go walking all the time. We would walk past these people that were walking on those treadmills. And we're just like, why don't you just walk outside?
Well, you know, for some people, that's what they can do. I mean, I understand. Yeah, I mean, and no shame on the treadmills, but also maybe put a picture of trees in front of your treadmill. And that would be, you know, look at some nature pictures while you're on your treadmill. And that might
that might satisfy the whole thing. That's
it could, it could totally help.
You don't have to pay for walking. You could walk outside.
Absolutely. It is so interesting to me. And I just, okay, so if you've just come into this conversation, if you are just joining us on In Season and you are wondering what the heck we're talking about with brains and nature and whatever. So you're listening to In Season. I'm Teresa Retzloff, your host, and I am talking to Bill Greiser. He is an assistant professor of neuroscience at Portland State University. And we are talking about the effect of nature on the brain, on our nervous systems.
Yeah, absolutely. Our nervous systems, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a really fascinating thing. I also was intrigued to see through a bunch of other studies, I mean, that just being in nature, and this is something you and I talked about, which I loved, that being in nature is also good for your eyesight.
Yeah, so, you know, I should say...
I just love this!
So this organization that my colleague Jeff and I kind of co-founded is called Northwest Noggin. It's a nonprofit.
So, yeah, tell us a little bit about Northwest Noggin.
Because the information about, you know, the eyes and being outdoors came from one of our student volunteers. So it's really interesting because, like, we... years ago, you know, we're... what are we going to do with our kids? Because, like, we both were, like... adjunct faculty were running around all over these different, you know, campuses and things like that. And, you know, in the summertime, we were thinking, like, it'd be great if we had opportunities for our kids to get in, you know, some kind of a science camp or art camp and things like that. And so they were just so expensive.
It was like, so you started your own.
So we started our own. And we had all these grad students and undergrads who were like, yeah, let's go to, like, public schools or, you know, there's a houseless youth organization in Portland that we started going to called PEAR. And we would bring actual brain specimens.
This is the cool thing. And so, like, for any parents out there, if you have had your kid come home from school one day and go, I held a brain in my hands. It was so cool. That was Northwest Noggin at their school. Yes. That was Bill.
But they
Sharon
also,
brains.
They may have also come back with a neuron, a brain cell, you know.
Made out of pipe cleaners.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's one behind Teresa right here on the tree.
It is so, I mean, it's such an ingenious way of engaging kids with neuroscience, with brains, with science and education. And I love that you take it out to the schools, to young kids.
We love this.
And just connect with them.
We learn so much because it's, you know, part of it is the sort of traditional kind of outreach that we saw at our institutions like Portland State and OHSU was like, we are the experts and we are going to come to you to tell you, you know, what's wrong with your brain or something like that. And it was kind of like, no, it was much more interesting to go places where we don't know what's going on in this public school or in this houseless youth organization or McLaren Correctional Facility and say, what do you guys know already? Or what do you want to know? Like, what are you curious about? And then the questions you get are just amazing and incredible. And then our students get super fired up by this. And I think this is part of the forest bathing aspect that's kind of important in terms of why it's beneficial is if you go someplace that you're not, you know, familiar with, right?
Ooh, sorry. Bill got so excited while he was talking that he knocked his microphone off.
I knocked my microphone off.
It's just, it's an exciting topic.
It is an exciting topic. I'll have to put those papers down. So, like, if you go someplace where you're not, like, an expert, or you don't know what's going on, and things are novel and new and kind of exciting and interesting, and that's what we do. We bring a whole bunch of undergrads and grad students who are studying the brain, interested in the brain, into a public school, let's say, that we've never been to before. And, you know, we're like, where are we? You know, some of our undergrads are like, oh my God, I'm back in public school. Like, they're a little worried about this. Or K-12. There's your brain. We have research that shows that you're going to be more open and more plastic, more changeable in the brain. You're more, you know,
open
engaged,
to new ideas.
Learning, like literally the cells that form the networks in your brain that are processing what you're seeing and what you're hearing and what you're smelling and all this are actually not as fixed. They actually have an opportunity to reconnect in new ways. And so there's something about novel experience, like walking in a new forest. And there's something, if you go in the woods, it's always different. It's always interesting.
Yeah, every season, yeah. Every day. You're going to see something new. Something new is blooming or it stopped blooming. Yeah, there'll be an animal, a bird you don't know.
Extraordinary. And then, so we have students that get super excited about the questions that kids ask. And like one of them was asking about like eyesight and, you know, why, you know, more people are developing you know, needing glasses at an earlier age. And that's actually very true. It turns out it's about a decade difference from, like, you know, with this current generation. So part of it is the screens that we're staring at all the time, and we're indoors a lot more and things like that. And if you go out, particularly in the forest, there are so many things that are close to you that you're examining, that are, you're looking at the detail, and you look into the distance down the trail and things like that. You're getting a lot of good, you know, kind of exercise for the lens, which, you know, what happens when you get into your, it used to be like your fourth decade of life, you know, the lens would get a little less flexible. They call it presbyopia, and the muscles have to work harder to adjust it. And so you need glasses or bifocals or trifocals or, you know, progressive lenses or something. And now it's happening about a decade earlier. So that kind of exposure, and there's some...
So the looking at something close up, and then you lift your head and you look off in the distance and you're looking around.
Very useful. And very important.
I'm exercising my eyeballs every day.
Every day you exercise your eyeballs.
But
it's also the natural light exposure. So part of it is if you don't get that natural light exposure on a every day, it's kind of remarkable. Your eyes...
For a certain amount of time, or does it just for about 20 minutes?
Well, I said ideally, like if there's sunlight, you know, we live in the Northwest, so it's usually about 2 hours a day is what you kind of want to be outside, actually. It would be ideal, actually, and maybe a little longer in like cloudy environments and things like that. But the eye will grow if it doesn't get exposure to light, and it kind of extends, and it you can become more myopic. You can need more changes in your prescription if you don't get light exposure.
So you need to spend at least 2 hours outside every day and have 20 minutes of those wandering in a forest.
Yeah, this is our student. An undergraduate at Portland State named Pearl Tan, who was really just blown away by this. Like, she's like, I'm getting outside every day.
I hope everyone listening to this is outside. Encouraged, and especially you gardeners or farmers or people who spend a lot of time outside. You like to fish, you like whatever. You're spending time outside. It's not just that you're doing an activity that you love. You're improving your eyesight.
Yes. Yeah.
You're helping your cognitive function. You're dealing with anxiety and depression, and your heart is going to be healthier. I mean, these are some real benefits.
But of course, wear sunscreen.
Wear a hat, all those things. You know, one thing that I thought was really fascinating too, because a lot of times it's hard to turn off that sense of like achievement and go and do stuff. Mm-hmm. And in reading about this concept of forest bathing, which if you haven't heard of that before, I totally encourage you to just look up forest bathing. Really fascinating research, really interesting studies, and lots of people who are being trained to kind of lead this experience. But the goal is not to go on like a power walk through the forest.
No. Yeah.
The idea is that you meander, but you're not going to get kind of meandering, like paying attention, looking at leaves, listening to the birds, being present.
Actually, in Japan, like I think as part of the Shinrin-yoku kind of, therapy, they actually ask you to, you know, utilize all your senses. You have to smell something, you know, sort of, it's like meditative. You have to be sort of present, though, like that form of meditation where you're, you know, paying attention to a particular smell, looking at a particular thing, you know, being back into, like, nature, like, where are you, being here.
Yeah. Exactly. Be here now.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And when you're on that, you know, that's my phone, you're like all over.
Yeah. I loved too, I mean, thinking about like using all your senses and smelling, I was reading too that just the smell of trees.
Yeah.
Like there is something in the pine scent or particularly cedar.
Yeah.
That has health benefits.
I am this, you know, again, I'm an educator in this area, so I'm not an expert in this area, but I know if you check out our website, there are references, you know, there are some research articles on, you know, compounds that you, in trees, like, that are released by trees, like alpha-pinene, which is like a terpene, and then there are other chemicals, like in the soil, like bacteria, they release, I don't know how to pronounce it, but geosmin, is G-E-O-S-M-I-N.
Okay.
And it's from, like, earth and smell. It's like, it's actually, when it gets wet, that's that petrichor, that beautiful
smell.
Ooh,
I love that
smell. Yeah, don't you love that smell?
Oh, when it's been dry and then it rains and there's that smell.
Oh, I love that smell.
That's good. That's a good smell.
You know, so there's interesting research. It is good. It seems like it is good. It's actually, it may not be for us that the bacteria are releasing this chemical, but we seem to like it. Exactly.
But there's something about that smell. Exactly, it's also like the grass smell.
Yeah, there was something I read about
sometimes that makes me sneeze. I mean, allergies.
I think bacteria release it so that organisms that go after and eat that bacteria or something like that stay away from the bacteria, actually, is what it, so it helps to keep them away. But we do tend to like that smell. And there is some research, I think, on how it is beneficial, like in terms of our response. So
I just find this so fascinating. I mean, and it's, you know, I feel slightly validated with my life choices that maybe I need to calm down and be a little bit less, you know, go when I'm harvesting and take time to look up and look at birds and just pay attention.
The ones that are picking at your roof.
The ones that are like poking holes in the barn roof and eating my strawberries. But you know, just deep breathing. It really is fascinating, and I love that there is science to back this up, because a lot of times what I find is that people will often make health claims based on like, well, I feel this, this works for me, or my grandmother said, or these things. And you know, that may or may not be true, but what I really love, because I love science, is that there is research that's been done and then is ongoing that is showing that we're not crazy, that you really do feel better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it is really has measurable effects.
Well, you know, I always feel like, you know, that if you feel better, you feel better.
This is true. I mean,
exactly.
That's a really good point. Really good point.
But
maybe it's
the
placebo effect. But who knows?
Yeah. And things like that. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that is what's so fascinating. And then it is also really lovely and reassuring to know that, like, if you are that person who does not like nature.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm saying that some people don't, and they have. You know, a lot of it is, I think, we have these kinds of narratives about, like, you know, who we are and how we fit into things and stuff like that. And, you know, some things may be at odds with that. Like, people do not want to go. Some people I know don't want to camp ever, or don't want to be out in nature. Like, mm-hmm. They're
that's just not my
things.
Thing.
Yeah, not their thing. But like we were saying, there are, you know, you could look at landscapes, or you could, you know, have some plants at home and things like that.
Yeah. Just take a, like, walk through a park
through
in your city. I mean, still has plants and trees. It may not be, you know, a wilderness forest, but it will still have benefits.
I think it definitely suggests that we should be investing significantly more in, like, public parks or natural areas.
Plant trees.
You know, trying to preserve, you know, trees and forests and things like this.
This is just so fascinating.
Yeah,
and
they're important for our health.
Yeah, trees are good for us.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
We're not
nature
always great
is
for trees.
Good for us. Yeah, this is true. But this is just so fascinating to me, and I've love learning more about it. I look forward to learning more about it. And I certainly encourage everybody listening to dig deeper into this, you know, to feel validated in your choices as a gardener, the time you're going to spend outside, you know, if you like to walk, or if you're on the fence about it, you know, try to find a good nature path to walk on.
Yeah.
Take time to smell the roses.
Yes.
Take time to, you know, listen to the birds. If people want to find out more, what's your website again?
It's Northwest Noggin. It's NWNoggin, NOGGIN.org. And actually, if you go to the site, we have like a lot of information about, like, what we're doing, you know, what our next event is. Everything we do is free, and, you know, we do it all as volunteers. We are a nonprofit that has no budget.
And you do have events that are not just in schools. There are public events.
Yeah. We've been at like Astoria High School, though.
Yeah.
And we've been at the Fort George.
Yeah. You do public lectures.
We do public lectures and
so
public events.
If you have an opportunity to go and connect with Northwest Noggin, I really encourage you to do so. It's a fascinating group.
There's a search section there, too. So if you want to find out, like, about all this stuff on forest bathing, you could literally just put in forest bathing
and
you'll
look
find all the posts that relate to that.
Go look it up. Mm-hmm. And everybody, just, I encourage you to go get outside and, you know, be in nature. Bill, this has been such a great conversation.
Thank
it went
you
by
so much.
Way too fast. We're going to spend a little bit more time sitting under the tree and just contemplating nature. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks to everybody for listening to In Season on KMUN, and we'll talk to you next time.